Canto 7, Chapter 4. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Sri Narada said, "Thus being solicited, Lord Brahma, who sees everywhere, pleased about Hiranyakashipu's austerities, then granted him the benedictions that are so hard to obtain." Lord Brahma said, "My son, even though these boons you asked for are difficult to obtain for men, I will grant them to you, my best." Thereupon, the mighty Lord departed, he whose grace is faultless, and who was worshipped by the most exalted Asura as the Almighty One praised by all rulers of mankind. The Daitya, who thus had obtained his desired boon and had acquired a body with a golden luster, constantly thinking about the brother killed by the Lord, maintained a feeling of hatred towards him. Conquering the three worlds in all directions, he, the greatest Asura, brought the masters of all places under his control, God, demon and man, the kings, the musicians of heaven and the birds, the serpents, the perfected souls and the bards, the scientists, the seers and the leading manes, the fathers of mankind, the treasure keepers and the wild men, the goblins, the evil spirits and the ghosts. As the conqueror of the world, he usurped the power of rule of all authorities everywhere. Situated in the pleasure garden of the gods with the riches of all opulence, he thus resided in the highest world. Living in the palace of the King of Heaven, as created by Vishwakarma, the great Asura architect, he in control of all the wealth of the entire universe, dominated the three worlds from that abode of Lakshmi. The steps there were made of coral, the floors of emerald, the walls of crystal, and the rows of pillars were made of Vaidurya stone. One also found there the most wonderful canopies and seats bedecked with rubies and bedding with pearls on its borders that was as white as the foam of milk. In the quarters, adorned with jewels and gems, in which they saw their beautiful faces and teeth reflected, celestial ladies left and right made sweet sounds with their tinkling ankle bells. In that royal residence, ruling most severely with the greatest might and mind, the dictator, controlling everyone, enjoyed it to be worshipped by the tormented, God-fearing entourage at his feet. O Best One, he, the embodiment of all austerity, yoga, strength and good sense, who by anyone but the three principal deities was honored with all glories with presentations from the hands of all important men, was thus engaged, while being intoxicated by strong scented wines that made his eyes roll red as copper. With all his power occupying the seat of Indra, he was glorified by Vishvavasu, Tumburu, and by me, O son of Pandu. Again and again, all the singers and girls of heaven, the perfected souls, the saints, and those who base themselves on knowledge, offered their prayers to him. Thus, with gifts in abundance being worshipped by all classes and age groups, he, in the exercise of his power, reserved every share of the oblations for himself alone. Mother Earth yielded, as the cow of plenty, under his rule on all her seven continents, spontaneously crops in a great abundance, while all the wonders of the universe could be observed in the sky. The seas and oceans of salt and sweet water, wine, ghee, cane juice, yogurt and milk, as also their wives, the rivers, carried all kinds of precious stones in their waves. The valleys between the mountains and hills were his pleasure grounds that offered all the wealth of plant and tree throughout all the seasons. He alone stood for all the different qualities of all the ruling gods of nature. Despite having conquered all directions as the one and only ruler with the right to exhaustingly enjoy all thinkable pleasures, he was not at peace with it, for he had lost the control over his senses. Being cursed by the Brahmins, the Kumaras, he was intoxicated by great pride over the opulence he had acquired, so that a long period passed of living in offense with the scriptures. Because of his painful rebukes, all the worlds were disturbed, and for their leaders there was no safe place to be found. Therefore, they approached the Infallible One to seek shelter. They prayed thereto, "We offer our obeisances in the direction where the Supersoul of Hari, the Supreme Lord, is found, and from where the peaceful and pure souls of the renounced order never return." With their minds under control, being wakeful and feeding on air only, they thus steadied and purified their intelligence in the worship of the Master of the Senses. Then, like thunder, in all directions a loud voice resounded free from a form that drove away the fear of the saintly souls. "Do not fear, O best souls of learning. I wish you all the best. From having my vision, the living beings may attain all good fortune. The nefarious activities of this great demon are known to me, and I shall put them to an end. Just wait and see. When one is hostile towards the gods, the Vedas, the cows, the Brahmins, the saints, the Dharma, and towards me, one will soon perish. The moment he, Hiranyakashipu, is of violence against his peace-loving son, that great soul Prahlada who has no enemies, I shall kill him, irrespective of the blessings he received from Lord Brahma." Sri Narada said, "After thus having been addressed by the spiritual master of all living beings, the God-conscious souls offered him their obeisances and returned to their places. Being relieved of all their anxieties, they considered the demon as good as dead. The Daitya king fathered 4 most qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlada was the best, being endowed with all the qualities of a great devotee. He, as a good Brahmin, being of full control over the senses and the mind, was firmly established in the absolute truth, and was, like the Supersoul, the beloved best friend of all living beings. He sat down at the feet of the great souls like a servant. Like a father, he took care of the poor. He was like a brother to his equals, and always kind to the spiritual masters, whom he esteemed as the supreme controller himself. He was of education, purpose, beauty, nobility, and completely free from arrogance and impudence. Even though he was born from an asura, he was not of a demoniac nature. In the midst of danger, he was of an unperturbed consciousness, and he had no desire whatsoever to talk about or be concerned with temporary matters. Material qualities he considered insubstantial, and by controlling his senses, life air, body and mind, he quieted his lusts. His qualities are, like those of the Supreme Lord, our controller, unabatedly defended by the scholars to this very day, O King. In gatherings of saintly people, the enemies of the demons discuss these characteristics, using him as an example. When even the wise and learned souls do this, O King, then why should you, or anyone else, not do that also? One runs out of words when one tries to enumerate the countless qualities of him who owed his greatness to his natural attraction for Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a small boy, he, in his full absorption in the attraction of Krishna, refrained from playing and seemed to be absent-minded, having no understanding for worldly matters. As he sat and walked, ate and lay down, drank and talked, he, embraced by Govinda, was impervious to all of it. Sometimes worrying about not being in Vaikuntha, he cried. Sometimes he laughed about a twist of mind, and sometimes he chanted aloud in great jubilation, thinking of him. Sometimes he, being overwhelmed, loudly exclaimed his name, Sometimes he danced without shame, and sometimes he, lost in thoughts about him and projecting himself into his position, imitated him. Then again he, with his hair standing on end and with tears in his half-closed eyes, fell completely silent, rapt with joy in being caught in the loving association of his transcendental bliss. By his constant service at the lotus feet that are glorified in the hymns, and by the evolution of his selfless association, he attained the highest ecstasy. From the spiritual soul, he that way continually brought peace to all around him who lacked in spirit and association. And to him, that exalted and most fortunate broad-minded devotee who was his own son, O king, Hiranyakashipu, committed the greatest sin. Sri Yudhishthira said, O Devarishi sworn to vows, we would like to know from you the following. Why did the father make his own pure and exalted son suffer? Sons going against the will of their fathers are lovingly reprimanded. But for teaching them a lesson, they cannot be punished like an enemy, is it not? Please, O Brahmin, what to say about this father who, so mean to the point of death, hated his own obedient son? Please drive away the doubts we have, for he was a great devotee of the sort who honors his father as his guru, O master.